1400.
Hey, Baltimore. We're glad you tuned in. This is the Truth and Love broadcast brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets in Glen Burnie. And we're live on this wet Saturday afternoon, hoping you're going to stay with us for the next hour as we look to the Bible to get answers for questions that you may have or concerns that you may have of a religious nature. We want to hear from you today. Give us a call to the station. The number here, 410-481-1400. It's kind of an open format. We'd love to hear from you if you've been a long-time listener but never called in. Give us a call, and let's talk about something you're curious about, you're wondering about, or you're worried about of a religious nature. What's going on at your church? Is there something going on that you want to know? What does God think about what's going on here? Is there something in the religious world going on today that you want to see? What's their justification for acting this way? Well, we're going to let God settle it, because we're going to give you a book, chapter, and verse to answer your question or to confront your concern. We'd love to hear from you today. It's a rainy Saturday, and oftentimes we know you may be home. Well, we're not here to sell you any homeopathic remedies or any vitamins or anything like that. We want you to join with us in the show and make this show an educational and inspirational thing for all our listeners as we turn to the Bible to get answers for your questions. If you don't want to go on the air, that's fine too. Greg will answer the phone, or I'll answer the phone, and we'll write down a question that you may have, read back that question to you, and give you a book, chapter, and verse, and really get into the scriptures to see what does God say about it. Oftentimes we say it's not about what you think, it's not about what I think. We all have opinions on what's right and what's wrong, but let's let God settle it with what he says in his scriptures. We do believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's where we are going to go for our direction on how we should act as Christians, how we should worship as a church, and what's going to get us to heaven. So we hope you'll join with us in believing that. But if you want to build your faith and you are curious about something, please call us today, 410-481-1400. And if you're looking to go to a church somewhere, if you're looking to worship with a group of Christians, or you want to study the Bible, come join with us as we meet at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie. We do meet on the first day of the week, as we see the early Christians did the very same thing. We gather together at 9:30 for a Bible class, at 10:30 for our worship service, and again, we convene at 6 p.m. for another worship service on Sunday evening. If you can make any of those services, you're always welcome and always invited. And if you'd like to meet with the group on Wednesdays, we do meet during the midweek, 7:30 p.m. for a Bible class and an invitation. So we'd love to see you. We often have people that say, you know, I've listened to the radio station, and I just wanted to see you guys in action and see if what you talk about is real and see if people are trying to live this. And we have visitors that come as a result of the radio show. And we'd love to see you. I'd love to meet you myself. So come join with us at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie on Sunday or Wednesday. But now it's time to invite you to call the station and join in the conversation that we're going to have of some religious topics here. Again, the number 410-481-1400.
And while we're waiting on you to make those calls, we're going to tell you about a free Bible correspondence course. And it's not like those advertisements that you hear that they're going to send you something free except for shipping and handling. It's free, period. There's no charge. We even include a self-addressed envelope, a return envelope for us, with the correct amount of postage for the number of sheets of paper that should be in that little correspondence course lesson that you receive. And so you can not worry about, is it going to be something that is truly free? And it's a Bible correspondence course. We, as Nick has already said, don't care what the opinions of men are. They don't count. What you want to know is, what does God say? And that's going to be found in the Bible. There are all kinds of people claiming latter-day revelations. They range from Pentecostals to the Mormon Church to the Catholic Church to the World Mission Church, and all of these things. You know, you sit there and people make up all these names and their churches, and they're truly their churches. They're not the Lord's church. They belong to them, to the people who found them and start them up, and they make their own kinds of things. You know, there's a thing called the Church of Scientology, and Tom Cruise is one of the people who's really active about that. You know, that was invented by a guy named Ron Hubbard. He said, I can make a church. And so he just dreamed up a church. And Tom Cruise is crazy enough that he's a member. And he acts like he believes that stuff. Well, now, why would he believe Ron Hubbard? Well, okay, so whatever. But if you want to know what God says, let's turn to the Bible. Call 410-761-3795 and enroll in a Bible correspondence course. One of those things that you can sit down and you can say, I want to know what God wants me to do. And if you'd like to attend a church where the Bible is preached and where you're taught the Bible, not what men think, you're not entertained by a choir, but rather what you're doing is you're studying the Bible, come and visit with us at 2 Eastern Street. We'll study the Bible. You know, one of the things that a visitor said not too long back, she commented to one of the members, said, one thing for sure, you can tell that man cares about what the Bible says because he threw the Bible up there on the screen. Every time he talked about a verse, he'd just point at it and say, there it is, and you could read it. Well, the reason that we do that is because we want you to be able to follow along. Sometimes our visitors will come in and they'll say, well, you know, I don't know whether Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in that order or some other, and I don't know where Galatians is, and I can't find 1 Timothy. And one of the things I try to do on my lessons is put all those verses up on the overhead so you can see them. And you say, well, you mean I don't have to turn in my Bible? Nope. You can read right along with us. And if you keep up, and there are a lot of folks that do, they'll sit out there and they'll be reading in their Bibles, then you can see that what's overhead comes directly from God's Word. That's what we're interested in, is what does God have to say about it?
You know, and all those overheads and sermons are available at our website, and that's free for you as well. There's no sign-up that you need to do. You can just go to www.gbchurchofchrist.com. That's www.gbchurchofchrist.com. And there you can get all the latest lessons, and you can search back. We've got quite a few on there, and they all have PDFs that go along with them so that you can open what is normally our PowerPoint presentation that goes along with each sermon, and you can click through that as you listen to it. And it makes for a good afternoon of study for you if you're interested in seeing and hearing the kinds of things that we talk about before you come. Then that's a good way to get a preview and a good way for you to study if you're shut in at home and you can't make it out to be with us. But you do need to attend services on a regular basis. And we hope that you can come out and be with us. But if you can't, you need to be going somewhere. And if you need more scriptures than you're getting in where you're going to church currently, then please use these references. Give us a call here at the station. Find out where the scripture is that backs up the belief or that refutes the belief that you've heard about recently. The number here at the station is 410-481-1400.
And, of course, there are a bunch of those Bible correspondence courses, and if they're not on there, they will be shortly, that you can just go on there and print them yourself. You don't have to enroll with us. There's a lot of information on there. We like to make that available because their Bible helps. You may be needing something to study in your class. Well, we have class workbooks on nearly all of the New Testament books, and we're going to make those available on there. Have some of the Old Testament books as well. And so if you'd like to enroll in one of those things, all you have to do is just go click on it. You don't have to call anyone. Just go to gbchurchofchrist.com. And by the way, that gbchurchofchrist.com, there are no dashes, no hyphens, no spaces. It's just gbchurchofchrist.com. And so you can sign up there. We'd be happy to have you come in and take a look at those. And, you know, there was a series of lessons that we did recently that was interesting to a large number of people. And it had to do with the existence of God. How do we know that God exists? How do we show that God exists? And you'll find a lot of information in a lot of books. But one of the things that you'll find here is this is just a real abbreviated thing. And I've tried to put pictures and things like that in there of certain interesting facts, and you'll see those on there. So you can just turn over. And by the way, if you have friends who'd like to listen to this program and who are not within the listening range of this particular station, all they have to do is go onto the Internet. And if they just search Spirit 1400, then all they have to do after that is just click on listen. And you can listen to us right now. You can be listening, and you can be thousands of miles away. You know, you, if you want, if you have a friend or a loved one who's overseas in the military or something of that nature who would like to have time to tune in when they can, it's real easy. Just go to the Internet and sign on and listen. It'll come in clear as a bell. It's much better. In fact, a number of people, especially in outlying areas, say, well, you know, it's real staticky on my home radio. It's better in the car. And I know of some people who go out and sit in their cars to listen. But you can also sit and listen at your Internet site, your computer. And most of you have those things now. So if you don't know how to do that, get your grandchildren to show you. They'll be happy to.
You know, we're kind of playing with the website right now in studio, and it's so nice. I would encourage you to go and check it out. And there's even a place there on the right side for contact us, and you can ask a question. So you can put in a question. If you have a question, we'll answer it back on the air here next week. So submit a question if you want to on the through the website, but be sure to search the media, the sermons, to see all the content that there is available for you. And boy, there's just a lot of good stuff if you're looking to study.
Yeah, we've got about 200 sermons on there, 2 years worth of Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, so you shouldn't run out of things to listen to anytime soon. The number here at the station is 410-481-1400. Again, that's 410-481-1400. Give us a call now and get an answer to your question now. We hope that you use all these resources and things that we've talked about. And we hope that if you want to do regular snail mail, as they call it, correspondence course, that you'll give a call to 410-761-3795. Again, that's 410-761-3795. That'll get you directly to our operators that are really just members of the church that are willing to sit and talk to you about what correspondence course you need. But you can also, like we said, go to the website and you can search for just sermons on the topics. We try to name them appropriately so that when you do a search, it'll come up. And you'll be able to go and listen to sermons that have to do with it. But give us a call here at the station. Don't wait, especially if it's about your salvation. If you have heard something recently or somebody has said something to you that has shaken your foundation, give us a call here at the station now. We want to make sure that you understand how to be saved, you understand the plan of salvation, that you understand the role that baptism plays in your salvation, and that you are going to go to heaven, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And we want you to go to heaven. If tomorrow never comes, we want to make sure that you're in heaven with us. Again, the number here at the station is 410-481-1400.
And if you'd like to ask your question live on the air, you can do that, or you can have it written down and they'll give it to us, and we'll get you an answer from the scriptures. You know, as you think about churches, and a lot of people say, well, the only reason that they're putting up those websites and doing all that is because they make money. And I'd like to tell you that at Glen Burnie, it's an all-volunteer organization. Nobody makes any money. The only people we pay are the people who clean the building. And other than that, it's all volunteers. In fact, you've got men sitting here and who've been doing this for years. And none of us draws any salary for doing this. And you say, well, what about your preacher? Well, it's all right to get a salary if you're a preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14 says, so also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So it's good. But at the same time, Paul said he didn't use this, and we are fortunately set up, and the Lord has blessed us so that we can all do this, and we give these things away. This program has been on the air because the brethren at Glen Burnie wanted you to know what God said, And it's been on the air for over 30 years. I guess right now we're in our 33rd year of this program. And it's all free. We've done this on various radio stations over the years. And right now we're reasonably happy with this station. It doesn't have as many listeners as we'd like to have, but it's here, and so we're on the air. And we'd love to have you join with us. What do we do with the money that the brethren give then on the first day of the week? Well, we support 20 evangelists overseas. And we also have benevolence funds that we routinely send to brethren who are in the Philippines and are hit by typhoons, or brethren who, even here in the States, are struck by hurricanes and such. We recognize that when a disaster hits, that it's the responsibility of the church to take care of those who are members of the church. And so we do that. And, of course, we love to hear the things that we get back from the missionaries overseas. We have one, Carlos Sanchez, is down in the heart of the Amazon in Peru. You may not have realized that the Amazon starts in Peru, and there's a whole lot of it that's in those equatorial jungles. But Carlos is down there, a former fisherman, and recently he took a missionary journey upriver, 2 hours by boat, to a place where some men had called and said, "We want to hear you talk about the gospel. We want to know about these things you've been teaching others." And so he made that trip. And it's such a wonderful thing to hear that people's hearts are open to the gospel and that they respond to what the Word of God says. And we'd like the same from you. We'd like for you to know what God says, that you might respond in your heart so that you might be right with God, so that you could do the things that He tells you to do. That's what we're looking for. I was talking yesterday with a fellow who was talking about a young lady he knew who was recently killed in a car accident because she happened to hit a patch of ice and slid in front of a concrete truck or something like that. And she had a little boy who was going to have his one-year-old birthday party. You know, life is fleeting and life is precious. And the thing that we need to look forward to is, well, what's going to happen when one day we die, or when the Lord returns? What's going to happen to us? Where will we be? Are we right with God? You know, it's a terrifying thing as we think about the passage over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 5 is where I always like to start. "This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." As you listen to those verses, I hope you've concentrated on the fact that God is going to send Jesus back. And when he returns, there's going to be retribution for those who do not know God. You may think that, well, I can just ignore God and it will be all right, but it's not. And the other class of groups is those who do not obey the gospel. And you say, well, does it really matter if I cheat a little here or there? And the answer that you're going to get is, no, you're not going to cheat a little, because God knows. Call the station at 410-481-1400 with your questions or comments to enroll in a Bible correspondence course that'll help you go to heaven because of what it teaches about the Word of God. Call 410-761-3795.
We had the first caller that called in was asking about the different names of the churches. I guess when we kind of went off and talked about some of the different churches that are out there, they said Church of Christ, Church of God. What are the names of the church found in the Bible? And where we find Church of Christ, the easiest place is in Romans 16:16 says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." And then right down there at the beginning, we see at the beginning of the epistles, you can see what they were called, because down in, it's on the same page in this Bible, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth."
And it says, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So we see there, right on one page, we see two acceptable names. And we also see that it's okay to describe yourself by location. And that's what the Glen Burnie Church of Christ does. Glen Burnie's not a man. Glen Burnie is a town. And, you know, it does sound like a man, but it is a town, and it's just south of the city. And so we are the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. It wasn't started by a preacher named Glen Burnie, but it's in the town of Glen Burnie, so that's the way we describe it. And so just as the Corinthians were the Church of God, which is at Corinth, we are the Church of Christ, which is at Glen Burnie. And we get that from Romans 16, 16.
You know, there are other names of the church that can be found. For instance, at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he says that you might know how you ought to behave yourselves. And he says, in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And as you look at all of these names, I've got a list of places where names of the church might be found. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, Colossians chapter 1 verses 18 and 24, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23, Colossians 1:13 is where he talks about the kingdom of his dear son, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And you sit there and you say, well, wait a minute. Are all these places places where you can find what God has called the church? And the answer is yes. And by the way, these are all different ones. And so as we're sitting there looking at these things, you know, over in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 22, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. So Mount Zion is the church. The city of the living God, that's another name for the church. The heavenly Jerusalem, another name of the church. To the general assembly, there's another name. And church of the firstborn. Now, as you think about all of those, they're all synonyms for the church. And so there's a long list. And as you look at that list, you say, well, which one of these names are the correct names? Well, any of them can refer to the church of our Lord. But when people start to get out and make up real fancy names, and you'll find a lot of those on signs as you drive through Baltimore, they're just all kinds of signs of church names. Most of them have not come from the Scriptures. You'll find Baptist churches. Well, you don't find a Baptist church in the New Testament. You find Lutheran churches. You find Methodist churches. You don't find those in the New Testament. Now, you may say, well, what about the Roman Catholic Church? Well, Roman Catholic Church is not there, but the Catholic Church just simply means the universal church. And so, yeah, the universal church is there in the Scriptures. But the Greek Orthodox Church is not in there. And so as you look at all of these names, you say, well, what separates them? Well, the doctrines that they teach. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 is where we have a situation that comes up, and the Apostle Paul is aggravated because they're calling themselves after men. So if you're in a Baptist or a Lutheran church, this would apply to you. He says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Are you baptized in the name of Paul? And the answer is no. And so, if you're baptized into the Baptist church, that wasn't the Lord's church. That was the Baptist church. The Baptist church and the Lord's church are different. How do I know? Because one of them's called the Baptist church, the other one's called the Lord's church. And so if you're out there and you're saying, wait a minute, I'm a Baptist, well, what makes you a Baptist? Isn't it the denominational doctrine that you teach that's condemned right here? You might say, well, no, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. Well, isn't the difference the denominational doctrine that you teach? Why would you want to do that? Why not simply call yourselves a church like the one that Jesus Christ established, said he would in Matthew 16, 18, and then do nothing except what Jesus Christ said? Why do you need a denominational doctrine? You know, they'll write down, you can go on the internet and you can find out that the doctrine that the Baptists believe depends upon whether they're Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist or Granite Baptist or Free Will Baptist. And as you look at all of these things, you say, well, wait a minute, these are all different teachings. That's correct. Why do the Seventh-day Adventists call themselves Seventh-day Adventists? Well, because they're not the church that Jesus established. They're Seventh-day Adventists. They have their own doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not Christians. They say clearly that they don't believe that Jesus is their Savior. They believe that they are Jehovah's Witnesses. And so they have a completely different doctrine. And there are thousands of those out there. That's one of the reasons that we have a correspondence course on how do I find the right church. There are over 2,500 different religious groups in the United States identifying themselves as Christian. And you say, well, which one is right? Well, it's the one that's described in the Bible. And so in the correspondence course, How Do I Find the Right Church, which is available, by the way, on our internet site, gbchurchofchrist.com, you can sit down there and say, well, all right, what do I want to do? I want to look to see what are the characteristics of the New Testament church. And then I want to examine the church where I'm going, which may not call itself that, to see if it is different. And if it is, then I need to get out of that church and go to one where they're going to teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The number to call here at the station is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795.
The term church actually comes from the Greek word ekklesia, as we find in the scriptures, and it's just translated as an assembly or a congregation. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, this is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, who said it was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you. So we find out that the people in the wilderness, the Israelites, were actually called a church, the congregation. We also have in Acts chapter 19, Demetrius stirred up some trouble because he is a silversmith, and he was having his business taken away from him because of the church was spreading the truth. Starting in verse 39, the lawful assembly, it talks about, but if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly, for we are in danger of being accused of a riot in connection with today's affair, since there's no real cause for it in the connection we may make unable to account for this disorderly gathering. And after saying this, he dismissed the assembly. The assembly dismissed there, that riotous mob was actually the ecclesia. That was the word church that we see in the New Testament time frame.
So as you think about the church, it's not that great big building. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I want to go into the church because it's sanctified. Well, that's true, but it's talking about the people. It's not talking about the building. So a Catholic church building is a Catholic church building. It's not the church. And when you see these grand cathedrals and you think, well, when I walk in, that ground is holy. No, it's not holy. The children of God are to be holy. And so as we think about ourselves and what we are to be, we, if we are among the saved, are in the Lord's church. How do we get there? By being baptized.
You know, a lot of people don't really consider the name of the church that important. But, you know, if you're going to follow the scriptures, you're going to see how important the church is, and you want to be as accurate as possible. You know, as we're talking about, there's different names for the church, and people kind of pick and choose or have something holy or religious sounding or grandiose, and oftentimes Catholic churches name their churches after saints. But the important thing is where was the church, what was it founded upon, or who was it founded upon? And we find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, talking about Christ here, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And we also see from other scriptures that he died for the church. That's how important the church is. Well, you know, there are a lot of religious groups out there that want to minimize the importance of the church. Matter of fact, you know, some people think that the church shouldn't even exist today. But we see through the scriptures that the church was so important that Christ died for the church, and the church was founded upon him. Not upon a man, not upon a saint, not upon someone that you know, or the minister that's lording over that church. It was founded upon Christ. So it should be a church of Christ, or a church of God, or a church, you know, that that we talked about, an appropriate scriptural name. It is important because it also leads people to you. You know, if you're the Church of the Holy Sanctified Tabernacle of the Sacred Heart or something like that, where is that going to lead you? Well, you want to be scripturally led and follow someone or follow a group that wants to be scripturally accurate. So find a church that has an accurate name. But most important, find a group that's after God's own heart, that is following what the scriptures say, because there's a lot of direction on how the group of Christians, and that is the church, the group of Christians should worship together.
The number to call here at the station, 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course that'll have the names of the church in there, just call 410-761-3795. They're in that very first, that beginning correspondence course, and we'd be happy to have you enroll. A question came up recently. My daughter was walking through a mall, and some young ladies came up and said, "Do you know about Mother God?" And she was sort of taken aback because, well, the scriptures don't talk about Mother God. They talk about God as our Father. And so I was looking for an article that I put in the bulletin this week, and it talks about Mother God. There is a church out there that teaches, and supposedly they have 1.75 million members worldwide. It was started in Korea, and there was this fellow who they believed was the second coming of Christ, and he died. And that's unusual for, you know, I couldn't get over that he died. So his wife is called Mother God now. So she is the Mother God. He was the Father God. And they say, well, you know, if you have a family, you have to have a mother and a father. And the church is like a family, and you have to have a Mother God. Well, the answer to that is no. Where do they get that from? Well, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26, they say she is the Mother God of this verse, Galatians 4:26, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. And so they say, see, there's our Mother God. Well, let's go back just a little bit and read about this allegory. Now, an allegory is something that is symbolic. In other words, they name a couple of things, and then they make symbols out of them, and they use them to illustrate something. It says at verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two children, two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are slaves. She's Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, that is, the Jews, the law of Moses. For she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Let's go all the way back to verse 22. Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. So when it's talking about the free woman, it's talking about those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you say, well, is this Mother God here? No. This is an allegory, and it's explained. Abraham had two sons. One of them is by the bondwoman, and that corresponds to those who are under the law of Moses. And then one is the free woman, and that corresponds to those who are under the rule of Jesus Christ. But it's not a Mother God. God, the Father, is addressed by Jesus, and I did some research on this time. If you look up the word Father in the Gospels, you'll find that it occurs about 271 times. But about 211 of those, it's talking about our Heavenly Father and not our earthly Father. And, you know, interestingly enough, Greek is one of those languages that has gender. And if Jesus had wanted to call God our mother, he could have, and he didn't. And so if he said that God is our Father and you say that God is our mother, what you're doing is saying Jesus is a liar. And that's really the crux of the entire argument. Everything centers about, did Jesus lie about whether God was our Father or whether he was our mother? And certainly the language was there to be able to say that. But Jesus did not say that God was our mother, but rather that God is our Father, and he addresses him as such.
You know, not only Jesus, but every prophet in the Old Testament, too. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in the Old Testament, they could have referred to God as feminine, but we don't see that either. We see the God the Father also. So it's very consistent, Old Testament and New Testament. And I don't know, you got people out there wanting to switch things and twist things all the time. We just need to go back to the Scriptures and let the Scriptures tell us what the truth is.
Can you imagine nearly 2 million people worldwide being that taken in by
Amazing.
A doctrine like this?
And after the head dies, they're still kind of hanging around. And they kind of morph into, now we have a mother God.
And so I'm not sure where these young ladies were from, but if you've been approached by someone who's teaching this, you now have the ability to go there to Galatians chapter 4 and say, no, that's not what it's talking about. Look, he says exactly what it's talking about. Now, on the other hand, by the way, if you'd like to know more about God the Father, call 410-761-3795 to enroll in a Bible correspondence course. There's an operator standing by waiting for your call. But then there's this other group. Back in 1984, the World Council of Churches decided that they needed to put out a lexicon. That's just one of these things that just answers questions with verses of Scripture. And they needed to make it gender neutral. And so what they decided they would do is they would take every passage in the Bible, which they said, oh, they're all biased towards men. And you may have had some lady tell you that. It's very rare that a man will tell you that, but some young ladies say, oh, no, the Bible is biased. They're against women. And that's not true, because what we have is a situation in which the Scriptures teach that there are roles for men and there are roles for women in the church. For instance, just concerning the roles for men, if a man meets the qualifications, he may be and should be appointed as a bishop. Now, those qualifications are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it says, these are pretty high qualifications. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And so immediately you sit there and say, all right, the last qualification there is verse 6, not a new convert, and 7, a good reputation. But as we think about those qualifications of these men, you say, well, not every man in the church meets those qualifications. And that's true. And since every man does not meet those qualifications, then not all men are qualified to be a bishop. A bishop must be the husband of one wife. Well, that rules out those men who are married, and it rules out those men who are married to two wives. Now, at the time of the New Testament, polygamy was common. Jews very often had multiple wives. The Muslims weren't in existence yet. But, you know, now they choose to have multiple wives, and then they choose to have them cover themselves completely so that they can only be revealed to them. But the overseer here must be the husband of one wife. So you'll find out that there are a lot of men who don't meet the qualification. And then when it says he must keep his children under control with all dignity, well, what does that mean? Well, recently we've seen the Pope, the supreme cardinal of the supreme authority of Christ on earth, according to the Roman Catholic Church, has resigned. And the Catholics are all in an uproar about this. And, of course, the bishops, well, not the bishops, the cardinals, I guess, are going to get to select a new pope. Now, search though you may, you'll not find a cardinal as one of the titles that men are to hold in the church. That's something the Roman Catholic Church just made up, because they wanted to say, well, these guys are greater, and, you know, there's a limited number of them, and they're from all over the world. And then you have the archbishops, and I guess cardinals must be higher than archbishops, and bishops are lower than archbishops, because arch means over. And so you've got a situation here, and they've got this archbishop. There's no title like that. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and so that's not the Pope, and it's certainly not the Archbishop, and it's certainly not the Cardinal. So those are just all things that the Catholic Church made up. And again, you may be attending a church like the Catholic Church that makes things up. And they may have elderses and deaconesses, and they'll just have all kinds of things that you won't find here. But you will find that only certain men are allowed to be bishops, and they have to meet this list of qualifications. Well, what about deacons? Well, at verse 12, it says, let deacons be husbands of only one wife. What? Yes, the deacons have to be married, and they have to be married to one wife. And it says they have to be good managers of their children and their own households. If a man doesn't have some children and a wife, and one wife, not two, not three, then he has no right to be a deacon in the church that Jesus established. Now, he can be a deacon in your church if your church was not established by God. You know, if your pastor picks out the deacons, that's a red flag. You need to know, if a pastor picks out the deacons, you need to leave that church. And you say, well, what about if he's a bishop? Well, if he's a bishop, does he meet these qualifications? Are you attending a church where there's a bishop that doesn't meet these qualifications? What about the AME church? You know, I've picked on a lot of different churches today. What about the AME? Well, they put in Vashti McKenzie as the first woman bishop in the AME church. But Vashti McKenzie's not the husband of one wife, so we can rest assured the AME church is not the one that Jesus established. Now, you may love it. You may like it. That may be where you want to go. But let me just tell you that it's not the church that Jesus established, because it doesn't abide by the rules that Jesus established for his church. And we need to get back to the Bible. Call 410-481-1400 if you have a question or a comment. And if you'd like to enroll in a Bible school course that shows you where these actual things are, where these qualifications are, just call 410-761-3795 and ask for the course that tells about the bishops and their qualifications. It's in several of our courses, and they'll be happy to send you one or more of those. Again, that number is 410-761-3795.
Brother Roy called in a little bit ago and wanted us to turn and read some scripture about just how patient God is. And this is one of the things that we all need to be glad about. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, it says, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? You know, one of these things, that comment or that scripture there where it says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Like a thief in the night. A thief comes when you're not expecting it. If you're expecting the thief, he's not going to be successful. You will call your friends. You will get out whatever weapons you have. You will make sure that everything is padlocked and have the dogs ready. And the thief will not be successful. When you are ready, the thief, he doesn't call and announce. He doesn't show, hey, this is going to be the exact day. That's why this stuff with Harold Camping and everybody that thought that, and the Mayans, this is when the end of the world is going to be. None of them are right. And the reason why none of them are right is because God says Christ is going to come back like a thief. He's not going to come announcing and trumpeting that he's going to be back tomorrow. You better repent today. You're not going to know the day. You have to live every day ready for the Lord to come back, because you never know when he's going to come. Because of this verse here just shows it plainly for us.
Again, the number to call at the station is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795. And we have Edward on the line.
Edward, no.
Hello, you're on the air.
He's going to come. Yes, hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was calling in reference. I've been listening to you guys talk. Does this really
matter? Can you turn
the
radio down?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
I can hear myself talking in the background there.
Oh, okay. I was calling to hear you say or refer to the names of a church. Does the name of a church matter if it doesn't have the name God in it? I thought that the main thing of it, as long as the church is teaching a Bible teaching church, teaching the Bible, does the name of it, by not having the name God in the name of the church, does that matter?
Well, there are several names of the church that don't have the word God in them. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is it can have a different name, you know, as we read there. I think one of the most interesting passages on names of the church is there in Hebrews chapter 12, because it gives a bunch that you don't usually see associated with it. And Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 22, it says, you've come to Mount Zion. Well, and what he's talking about here is at verse 23, he'll talk about the church of the firstborn, that is Jesus Christ. And he says that you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And so as you look at these names of the church, you can say, well, you could call them any of those. And you might say, well, why did you guys, and we're not the ones, but others said, well, let's call ourselves the Church of Christ. And why is that?
Right.
Well, Romans 16:16, Paul said, the churches of Christ salute you. And so we said, all right, we're going to glorify Christ because he is our Savior. And so we recognize it's his church. And Mount Zion is another name for his church. But whatever you call his church, as you say, as long as you're doing the will of God, then what you're going to want to do, if you're doing following the will of God, it'll be one of these names that you'll find in the New Testament that you'll call the church, because that's the name that's given by God.
Okay. Okay, so basically, and, as long as you're... hello?
Well, it should be a scriptural name. Nick just pointed out, you know, it needs to be a scriptural name. So choose one from the scriptures, and that can be the name of the church where you attend. As Craig pointed out earlier, we're the Glen Burnie Church of Christ, and there are a lot of times when Paul writes to the church which is in Thessalonica, and he just simply styles it as the church. And that's a reasonable thing to do so that you can say, well, all right, we can do this, but what you want is, if you're going to be following the Bible, you'll want to follow it a scriptural pattern.
Now, Edward, I know that you attend a church in the city. How did your church get its name?
I think our pastor searched, but I'm not sure. I really can't say exactly how he got his name. Because we moved from a small church and we grew, and we was first named the Pentecostal United Holy Church.
And okay, but now that's not in the scriptures as the name of a church, though, is it?
What, Pentecostal church?
Yeah, Pentecostal church. That's not found in the scriptures.
No, not as the name of a church.
Okay, so why would you want to call the church that Jesus established something that he didn't ever call it?
Okay, so in the biblical days, was it... name of the church, wasn't the Church of Christ, is that it, the Church of Christ as a name? I'm trying to figure, was that original name of the church in the Bible?
It was, and we find that in Romans 16:16.
Okay.
There were several different names that people called the group of Christians as they met. One was the Church of Christ. So that's why, as a group of Christians, we want to go back to the scriptures and say, here's what God wrote down that the church was called. So why don't we, if we pattern ourselves after this and we follow the same things, shouldn't the group be called that name?
I guess you have a point there, yes.
Okay, so the situation then to be a Bible believing church, you're going to have to do things in Bible ways and call them by Bible names, and so that's the real point there. And you might consider that when you're walking in there, saying, "Well, if the pastor picked this one, did he pick the right one?" And because it has to do with whether the pastor is really following the Bible or not.
Well, I know with our church always we teach out of the Bible. Prayer. Everything I've learned since I've been at that church has been Bible based, and that's one of the reasons why I know it is a success of God. Spirit being in our church when it is, because we've learned everything from the Bible, and it has, oh my goodness, I've seen people come and grow and start their own churches due to that, the Word of God. So one thing I know, we are a Bible-based church. And
but again,
always been
Edward,
that.
When you say you're a Bible-based church, remember, if you're not calling yourself by a Bible name, you're not a Bible-based church. That's our point.
Even though the teachers are from the Bible?
Well, we're saying that it's great that you teach that. But it's really not for the pastor to make up a name for the group. Let God make up the name group and take that.
I'm quite sure he consulted God before. He didn't just make the name up out of
He consulted God. But God would give him the same answer that we find in the scriptures. So he didn't get that name from God. He made that one up, and it's not from God. And that's why we're saying you need to have a Bible-based church is going to have a Bible-approved name.
Or Bible-based name, yeah.
Okay, I hear you. Okay. I hear you and understand what you're saying.
Thank you so much for the call, Edward.
Thank you.
And we have another caller on the line. Gene is on the air. Hello. Gene,
hi.
Are you there?
Yeah, I was listening to your last conversation. So I ride to work through the city every day, and I see some big churches in the city, and they're named after men, mankind. And I say to myself, well, why would they name it Jenkins Memorial Church or Carter Memorial Church? I mean, Carter didn't die for me on the cross. Mr. Jenkins didn't die for me on the cross. So.
And, Gene, you make a good point. That's exactly what Paul was talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 and following. He said, you know, were these men crucified for you? The answer is no.
Right.
Christ is the one who is crucified, and so he's the one that we need to glorify in the church and call ourselves after, not Jenkins or Carter, like you say.
Well, and you don't want to draw people in. I noticed some churches in the city add Church of Christ on the bottom. There's one, it's called the Baptist Morning Star Church of Christ. And that looks to me like it was added on there. And I thought, well, that's good. They're adding putting the Lord's name in there. But there are still quite a few churches that don't, you know, identify the Lord as, you know, his name there in the church. I had another question now. I was reading Revelation last week about the mark of the beast, and I see that those people had the mark on their forehead, and they had to worship the emperor back then. And my question is, are the Catholics required to worship the Pope because... I know I see them bow down to him and they kiss his finger, his ring, and that's my question. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. And, you know, when you start looking at the mark of the beast, the 666, the situation that you have is that they do worship the Pope. But do they have to? And I guess Nick is a former Catholic, or Greg is a former Catholic, or better position to answer that.
Well, as you grow up, you're taught that he is an important person. I don't think I ever was taught that we need to worship the Pope, but certainly you look at images of him and the crowd bowing down to him and then approaching him, kissing his ring or kissing his feet, that sort of thing. So it gives you an impression that he is holier than any other person. And you hold him up to be, you know, you are taught that he can speak scripture. he is Christ's mouthpiece on earth. So you are taught that. So apparently with that comes the reverence that people give him. But he doesn't do that all the time. But you are taught that that's what he does.
Yeah, Greg's the guy I always go to on how many times has a pope spoken? Twice, right?
Depends on which time. They kind of dance around it a little bit. But to go along with that, let's also go to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23 and verse 9, it says, "And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven." Now, this is not talking about our earthly fathers, you know, dads. This is talking about religious titles. And the title of the Pope himself is the Holy Father. So the names that he goes by throughout the Catholic Church is a direct contradiction of what God's Word actually teaches us. It says, call no one on earth your father. If we call no one on earth our father and it amounts to religious purposes or matters, why would the Church call the head of the Church the Holy Father, which is a direct contradiction against the Scriptures themselves? We also find out in the, we have in Timothy, the qualifications for the elders. He must be the husband of one wife. And any of the religious clergy, from the Pope all the way down to the local parish priest, are they married? Even them, they're not even meeting the qualifications which God has outlined in the Scriptures for the churches to follow. So we find out throughout the entire structure of the Roman Catholic Church, as to being the head over multiple congregations, all the way down to the titles which they call themselves, it's not following after the pattern in the Scriptures.
And, you know, going back to this thing of how often does the church, does the Pope speak ex cathedra, that is to sit down, twice on the bodily assumption of Mary and on the fact that she was a virgin. And, you know, it hasn't been done in centuries now, and both of those are in error. You know, as far as Mary remaining a virgin, Matthew 13:55 names his brothers and says he had sisters. So, you know, it's a situation. Everybody in town knew that she wasn't a virgin. She didn't remain so. And nothing in the Scriptures indicate that. So this worship of the Virgin Mary is actually, it's just idol worship. And that's basically what Catholicism is.
You know, one of the curious things is you are taught when they pick a new pope, those cardinals or the group that gets together, they are divinely inspired to pick the right person because God directs this person to be pope. And it's funny to me that, you know, these guys are divinely inspired to pick the perfect person to be the pope. And you look at some of the popes in the past, I mean, 5 days later, one of them dies, and this guy resigns. So really, was he the guy that God wanted to pick if he's going to resign the position? So you just got to think, this is not God inspiring these guys. These guys are getting together, to me, my opinion, political matters or whatever, to pick a guy that might fit the bill. And, you know, this guy doesn't want the position anymore.
We're so thankful that you've all joined us. It's time to end the program. We hope that you'll come down and be with us tomorrow at the Lord's Day at the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. We'll be there at 9:30 for Bible study, at 10:30, and at 6 for our assemblies, where we'll proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we'd like to have you join us in that, if you possibly can. And join us next week. We're pleased at all of you who joined with us today. And until then, we'd like to bid you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
WWIN and WWIN HD Baltimore.